Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.
Hi, Fried fam, and everyone new to the world of Fried, where we talk about all things burnout culture and leadership. So today we're going to talk about autonomy. And this is something that gets a little tricky, but everyone has different autonomous needs, and we need to figure out what people's needs are so that we can match them. You have probably been in a situation where, as a leader, you gave someone a little bit too much rope. And instead of them thriving with that extra autonomy, being able to make their own decisions, decide how they want to do things, have flexibility over their schedule, rather than them thriving in that situation, they started to sort of slowly decline. Their productivity dropped, their engagement dropped. And you couldn't figure out why. Or on the flip side, you work at a place that has really strict SOP requirements, and everyone has to be in the office from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. without any exceptions. And things are actually really strict, and the autonomy of people is sort of pulled out from them. And you've had people really shine in that environment. The thing about autonomy, which is just like every other aspect of the workplace that we talk about around here, is that it's not better or worse autonomy. If you have more autonomy, it's not necessarily better. If you have less autonomy, it's not necessarily worse. The problem that we're looking at when we're looking at autonomy, it's not a culture problem. It's not a leadership problem necessarily, unless a leader knows this information and doesn't use it. But the autonomy problem is a mismatch issue. The level of autonomy that someone needs isn't being matched by their role or their position within the company or by the company culture. So when we're looking at autonomy, we want to always be looking at three different sections. This is according to the research. I didn't make this up. There's three ways that someone can have autonomy in the workplace. And in each of them, there's not an ideal amount of autonomy for you to give someone. There's an ideal amount of autonomy for someone to have in that particular area. Right? So we're looking for match. We're looking for alignment. We're not looking for the correct answer. And if you looked at research from the past, say, 10 or 12 years, you'd see in the beginning, if you looked real quick and didn't do any deeper dives, you'd see that more autonomy leads to more productivity, healthier employees, et cetera. But then when you do a deeper dive, it says, yeah, but too much could really make people crash. So again, it's not about whether it's good or bad to have more or less. It's about whether you are hiring the people who are aligned with the roles that you are giving them. So three different types of autonomy. The first one is called time or schedule autonomy. And this is just about flexibility in your schedule, how much people have to show up, when they have to show up, how flexible they are about taking lunches, leaving early to pick up their children, leaving early because they have a caregiver situation that they're a part of, time flexibility because they're going through some sort of medical treatment and they need to be off here and there, whatever it happens to be. Time and schedule autonomy, however much someone needs, is really dependent on A, who they are as people, and B, what stage of life they're in. So if you work in an office that doesn't offer a lot of time and schedule autonomy, but you keep hiring people that are brand new parents, you might be running into what's become a culture issue because you're not hiring the people for the role that are a good match. Now, I'm not saying that all parents need nonstop time autonomy. Some parents would love to know that they cannot pick up their children between 9 and 5 because they would like to be at work and they would like to have that space for themselves. Everybody, again, is different. However, it's just this idea that you have to come across that says, what kind of time autonomy or scheduling autonomy is needed in my team overall, in these individual people, and how can I get as close to a match to their needs as possible within the confines of the company's structure and rules? This one has been thrown up into the air in a big way since COVID. People didn't realize how much time autonomy they were missing until they got a lot of it back. And now a lot of people are fighting to keep more of it than was traditional in our workplaces. So from around this time autonomy question, we're going to be looking also into the future of work and saying, what is going to be necessary in the future of work? How as a company are we going to be set up for the future of work to allow people the kind of time autonomy that has now come to be expected because of this global pandemic that shifted the way that we were working forever? We're not going to go back 100% to what was before. So how do we build in the future to be able to give people time autonomy, but still be able to create community and work well together and be innovative, et cetera? So that's time autonomy. The next piece of autonomy you want to look at is decision-making autonomy. Now, I don't like anybody else to make the decisions in my business, which is why I'm in charge, and it's probably why I work for myself. If someone has a high level of decision-making autonomy and they are in an entry-level role, there's going to be misalignment. That doesn't mean if they're only ready for an entry-level role, that's okay. That's where they need to be. But that means there's going to need to be more discussions around why they have to adhere to this different style of autonomy for the moment until they have proven themselves to be trusted enough to be given more power, right? But then again, there are people that do not want decision-making autonomy. They don't want the responsibility that comes with it. They don't want it on their heads. And if you put someone like that in a leadership position, then you are putting someone in a leadership position who is not willing to be accountable or responsible for the decisions that are made by themselves and their teams. So the decision-making autonomy has to be balanced with a willingness to be responsible for and accountable to those decisions that are made. Someone has to be able to show both sides. So this is the kind of conversation that you could have as a leader or an individual contributor. Like, an individual contributor comes in and says, hey, like, I'd like to be more involved in the decision-making process. I'd like to have more influence over how we do X, Y, and Z. And then you have to look at them and say, okay, well, if I give you this decision-making power, if you move up a position, if you're promoted, if you're given this leeway, do you agree with the sense of responsibility that comes with it? If something goes wrong, it's on you, basically. So those things have to be balanced. The next style of autonomy. So we have time autonomy, we have decision-making autonomy, and then we have process and method autonomy. I have high autonomy needs across the spectrum. I work for myself. That's the best choice for me. The process autonomy is mostly about how am I going to be able to get this thing done? Like, do I need to follow a strict SOP? Does the company have such strict guidelines for how to do everything that it has become, to me as an individual, cumbersome or inefficient? And am I willing to either raise the fact that, hey, this SOP is out of date, hey, this has become inefficient in the world of AI, we need to make some changes, or am I going to suffer in this sort of rule that really makes me wild? Or am I a person who just loves how when you tell me exactly how something gets done? Can you just tell me how to do it? Tell me what the SOP is. I will follow it to the letter, and then I will move on with my day. Different people need different things. And your job as a leader is to start to understand, to pull these apart a little bit and start to understand who needs what, when, where, and why. You're not going to be able to meet everyone's needs all the time. That's not even realistic. But if you can talk about this using this type of vocabulary, hey, I understand that you need a little more time autonomy right now. You need a lot more flexibility in your schedule. Here's what I can do. Here's what I can't do. Then the conversation becomes about what the person values and needs in this moment, and not just about some arbitrary rules that you're pulling from the sky that they don't understand, that they don't feel connected to. Hey, I understand that you're looking for more decision-making autonomy. I don't think that you're quite ready to accept the responsibility that goes along with it. So let's do this 3-month trial. I'll give you decision-making autonomy over this thing. And if you show me that you can manage the pressure on both sides, then we can talk about what's next for you. Or, hey, I noticed that you're really happy when you have a process. Are there any spaces that we're missing processes that we can create so that things are easier for you? It's not always about giving people more autonomy. It's just about figuring out where the mismatch is so that you can align as much as you can within the confines of the company or the organization's bureaucratic structure, right? So here's the bottom line. Autonomy isn't a perk that you give to good employees. It's a match variable, one that looks completely different from person to person, role to role, life stage to life stage. Getting it wrong creates friction and stress that leads to chronic stress until it becomes disengagement, burnout, and attrition. Getting autonomy right or getting it closer to correct doesn't require a massive cultural overhaul. These are micro moments that can happen every single day in small ways that require short conversations, specific, honest conversations about what we're facing and what needs to be done, and the willingness to actually take the step to bring us closer to a match than we had before. Folks, mismatch underscores every bit of chronic stress. Not only in the workplace. We are constantly looking, or should be constantly looking, for ways to get closer to match, closer to alignment. The future of work depends on our ability to reduce the friction that chronic stress is currently causing in the workplace so that we can work to our full capacity. When we have AI coming into the workplace the way that we do, we need our humans to be as full and as fueled and as strong as possible. In order to do that, we have to reduce the friction that chronic stress is creating. Finding matches is one of the ways that we do that. I can't wait to hear what you think about this one. If you found this useful, please feel free to share it with a friend, a coworker, a boss, a loved one. If you really loved it, please head over to Apple if you're an Apple user and leave us a review. Reviews are one of the best ways that increase the reach of a podcast. So the more you review, the larger we will grow and the more people we'll be able to reach. And if you want to know more about your autonomy, you should follow me in all the places, because this is the kind of stuff I talk about regularly on LinkedIn and on Instagram. On both of those, I am at Kate Donovan Speaks. Until next time.
Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.